This is our second week on the same topic, and the title is Mind the Gap. Okay? So, first week we said there's a gap between when we pray and when we see our answer, and it's a spiritual gap. We have to be careful not to fall into it, just like on the train platform. Mind the gap, don't fall down there. But we can choose how we fill our gap in that waiting time. That brought the revelation that the gap is good because God's in the gap and we're not alone. We're never alone. And then finally, we said that the gap is a seedbed of spiritual activity, but we have to plant the seeds. When we speak out the word of God, that's us planting the seeds. So this week, I'm going to look at another way to fill the gap is by releasing God's power into it. Now, I'm going to start with a vision that I brought last week, and I felt it was a good place to start this week. And the vision was of someone standing beside an enormous crater, meters and meters across and several meters deep. And this crater was their gap. It was their need. And they're standing beside their need. They've prayed the prayer, and they're waiting for the answer. And last week I said a mist came over that crater, over the gap, and the mist began to hover. And the mist began to swirl, and it began working. And I felt it was a picture of God working in our place of need. And I brought this revelation. This week I want to bring this revelation. God is working on our behalf in the middle of our gap. Okay, he's working there. And I want us to have this image in our head, not just for the whole of this preach, but for the whole of our life. We need to know that when we've got a need, God's there working, that he's hovering and he's swirling by the power of his Holy Spirit. So I don't want us just to have this image in our head for today, but I want you to go home with this image. I want you to live and breathe this image as we're waiting for answers. It isn't a hollow, empty space between us and God. The power of the Holy Spirit is there, moving on our behalf. This isn't just a nice picture of some swirling mist, but it is a picture of power. Because when God works, his power is released on our behalf. When you speak the word of God, power is released. The word says, my words will not return void. The word of God won't return void. It's moving. It's working on our behalf. Genesis 1 and verse 2. I'm just reading a little bit more of it this week. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. And the Spirit of God was moving, hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, we'll stop there. First of all, it's a picture of emptiness and darkness. It says there was no form to it, and it was dark and empty and a great deep. It's just this picture of emptiness and darkness. And our lives at times can feel like that. They can feel empty and dark. So here's the question. Is our life empty in any areas at all? And is there darkness even in some places that we just don't want to go there? It's too frightening to go there. Then we need to let the Spirit of God begin to move and hover and work in our lives and picture him working. Because then it said, and those three words in verse 3, and God said something into that darkness. He opened his mouth and he said something. Have you said anything into your darkness? Have you said anything into your void? Have you said anything into your emptiness? Because we need to say the word of God. Is it God said into that emptiness, into that darkness? And things began to change. The minute God said, things began moving. He began to create. And you know what he created? The darkness became light. The darkness became light when God said. So if we say into our circumstances, our darkness can become light. As soon as God spoke, power was released into the gap. I think we'd all be in agreement that creation, there was a pretty big gap. I don't know how big the gap is in your life, but it cannot be as big as God faced. God faced an enormous gap. There was nothing. There was just a whole lot of darkness and void and emptiness. And God said, and darkness became light. That's the first thing that happened in the creation of the world. And it can happen in our lives as well. As soon as God spoke, power was released into that gap. So here is another revelation. If we say what God says, we can change our darkness into light too. We can take what God says and we can change things in our life. We have his power to do it. So when did we get his power? Well, obviously when we invited Jesus into our life, but here is the foundation for that. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rushing, violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, and they rested on each one of them, as each person received the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. So we receive God's Spirit at salvation. He comes to live in us because we have said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. And he comes and he lives on the inside of us. And I always picture it like having a well right here in your diaphragm, just below your lungs, a little well shape. That when I said as a child, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord, he came and he lived there. He can't physically live there. So obviously it's his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our well. And I was a Christian for many years, and that's the only experience that I knew in God. And that the disciples had already agreed that Jesus was their Lord. But here is a second experience for them. There's a second filling of God's Spirit, and that's what the disciples experienced. The disciples received the Holy Spirit filling them on the day of Pentecost. They were gathered together for this Jewish feast of Pentecost, and God released his Spirit on that day. That salvation, the Holy Spirit enters in, but baptism in the Holy Spirit brings more power with it. At baptism, the power is turned up and the Holy Spirit overflows to a brand new level. He never ever leaves us, but sometimes he can just be lying a little bit low and he overflows. And I like to think of it, who grew up with your parents or your grandparents having one of those little lethal electric bar fires that just didn't look safe at all, and they had the two little orange glows? Well, at salvation, God turns a bar on and we're alive for him. We've got the light of life on the inside of us. But at baptism in the Holy Spirit, he puts on the two bars. Off we go. We've got just so much more power. And I don't know about you, but I want both bars. And it's not the kind you walk into for alcohol, Linda. Okay? I want both bars of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I want what Granny had with her electric bar fire. And like I said before, I was a Christian for many years, and I had never even heard of baptism in the Holy Spirit. Never heard of it. Church of Scotland weren't preaching it. The Brethren Assembly weren't preaching it. Then I went to the Baptist Church and they weren't preaching it either. I had to come to a Pentecostal church and made a friend who was already filled with the Holy Spirit, and she started to tell me about it. I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute, Margaret, what's this all about? I've never heard of this. She went, it's in the Bible, Sandra. I've never been taught it. I've been a Christian for ages, for years and years. I've never been taught it. And as an adult, someone told me about baptism in the Holy Spirit. But once I was filled with his Spirit, I just knew I also had the increase of his power. And I could speak out words of God that I'd never knew existed. And I can remember saying to God and anyone that was listening, because before the enemy would come along and he'd rob me, that you're not really saved, Sandra. You're not really saved. And then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I started to speak in tongues. And any time that lie came into my head, I went, you can just go right now in Jesus' name. I am saved because I speak his language. I speak his language, and it gave me the confidence in my God and in my salvation. But not only did Jesus die to give us his power, he also gave us his authority. Matthew 28, verse 18 says this. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples after his resurrection from the dead. In other words, he's saying to them, I've got all the authority, guys, and I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you so you can go and reach the world with the power of God. God's not doing it anymore on this earth. Jesus isn't on this earth anymore. He's not got his two size 9 feet or whatever they were walking the soil of the earth. We have. We're the ones he's got to move through. We are his vessels that he fills, these earthen vessels with his power. He has got to speak through us. He uses us and he's saying, I've given you the authority and I've given you the power. Now you go. Go wherever I tell you to go. When we were at the conference recently, the Elam Pastors and Leaders Conference, a lady from Canada was there and her name was Danielle Strickland. And she said this, God's power is a gift to give away. A proclamation of the gospel and a demonstration of his power is how you reach the world. That's how you reach the world. Who did Jesus reach with his power? The unsaved, the non-Jews. He went out into the marketplace and he healed and he healed and he healed and he raised the dead. Then after breakfast, he healed and he healed and he healed and he raised the dead. He did all of that and then he told them the good news. Then he told them that they needed to be saved. And he did it whether they were Jews or whether they were Gentiles. And the people followed him because they saw the miraculous. They saw the power of God filling the gaps in their life. They had nothing. They had hardly any money for doctors. They were lying at the street, on the street corners begging. And the demonstration of God's power, that demonstration of God's power sounds amazing. And we'd all love to see it. Yet most of us think it's just wishful thinking and it will never happen. Most of us think we will never see that. Well, I've got a news flash for you. You want a news flash this morning? It already has. It already has happened. It already has been released. God's already released his power on this earth. He's already said, go to the world and reach them with your authority that I've given you and my power. Go and do it. That quote from Danielle Strickland said, God's power is a gift to give away. But in order to give it away, we need to know we have it. We need to know it's in us. We need to know we've got the two bars switched on. The well is full and running over. We need to know we've got it, that it's ours. That it's not just someone who's on a microphone that has it, or someone who's in the front row that has it. The back row have got it as well. The middle rows have all got it. God's power is in us. Look at Joel. There's a prophet in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 28. This is his prophecy from God. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. This was a prophecy hundreds of years before in the Old Testament telling them what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost that we've just read about. The Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. God was going to give. This is what God was going to do in the New Testament. And God's letting them know there's coming a day when his Spirit would be released. Do you want a revelation on that? Today's the day. Today is the day. His Spirit has already been released. We live in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. We live in the two-bar fire testament. Okay? Not in a wee candle or whatever they had back then. We live in the New Testament. We are living in a day of prophecy. This is the day. This is it. God's poured out his Spirit. God's power has already been poured out on all flesh. That is you and me. And all we have to do is ask God's Spirit into our life. And then ask him to overflow. Say, God, use me. Use me. Now that Danielle said, a proclamation of the gospel and a demonstration of his power is how to reach the world. When did you last demonstrate God's power? When did we last do that? Then me included. When did I last say to a friend or a neighbor, can I just pray for you that God heals that? Can I just pray that that situation with the insurance company works out? When did we last give God the opportunity to demonstrate his power to someone who's not saved? The challenge for all of us. Romans 8 verse 11 says this. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Well, I think every single one in this room has asked the Holy Spirit to come and live in them. So he is living in us. It's up to us to ask God in. And it's up to us to ask for baptism in the Holy Spirit. If we want to see more power flow in our lives, we simply have to ask for it. We don't need to beg God. If you're speaking in tongues and all the rest of it, and you've been prayed for baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's there. The well is full, but we need a wee push to let it dribble over the sides into someone else's life. God's power is real in the Spirit. It's up to us to release it into this physical realm, into our gap and anybody else's gap. We have to speak God's power into our gap. Speak it in English, speak it in tongues, speak it in double Dutch if you think it will help, but we have to speak it. So here's my revelation on this one. If we're not speaking it, then we're not releasing it. We're not speaking the word into our void, not speaking the spirit into our void. We're not releasing God's power into our gap, into our darkness for it to become light. We're not doing it. It's up to us. Here's a fact this morning. I've got a couple of facts for you. Here's one fact. God has power. Everyone agree with that fact? Here's another fact. God's power is in us. Now, when push comes to shove, that's where God loses a few people. Because when we're faced with that negative doctor's report, and we're faced with a really painful situation, we really begin to doubt whether or not God's power is in us. There's electrical power in this room, but it will not do us any good unless we flick the switch. Sometimes when we come in here on a Sunday morning, the room is in darkness, we need to flick that switch. I've still not worked out whether it's up or down, but I stand there and play with it for 5 minutes and eventually the lights come on, okay? We can sit in darkness all day and all night unless we release the power. It's the same with God's power. It's there all the time, but we are the ones who have to release it. We have to tap into it. We have to flick the switch and we do that by speaking his word. We do it by using the authority that he has given us, and we command things to change in Jesus' name. We speak to the darkness and we command it to be light in our lives. You know, the power of electricity was created by God, not just last week, but on the week of creation. It was created back in the beginning. God created light and he created electricity. It's not a new thing. It wasn't just created when someone discovered it. The power and the potential for electrical power to run through wires, light up buildings, drive air conditioning systems or whatever, has always been there. It has always been there. Pharaoh could have had air conditioning in the Great Pyramid at Giza. And believe me, I've been there. There was no aircon. It was stinking hot. It was about 120 degrees when I was there. It was absolutely boiling. The power existed, but man didn't know about it, so they never switched it on. I hope you know, can see where I'm going with this. Hope you can follow me with this one. God's power has already existed, but we haven't always been able to flick the switch. The Old Testament people couldn't do it. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. Pentecost hadn't come. The prophecy of Joel had not been fulfilled yet. But we are living in the fulfillment. We're living in it now. When Jesus died on that cross, he took back the keys to death and hell. He took back the power and authority that man had given to Satan in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve just made the decision, okay, Satan, we will obey you. We will take from that forbidden tree just because you've said we can. They decided to obey Satan and immediately handed him the power and authority that he needed to do anything evil on this earth. They gave it to him. And from that minute on, no one was able to stand against him the way we can stand against him. There'd be no point in them binding and loosing. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them to do it. But we have. And so and then Jesus died on that cross. And he went down to the very gates of hell and he took back the keys. He took back the authority and he gave it back to mankind, and we still have it today in the New Testament. It's God's power, but he gave it to us and the authority to use it. Hebrews 1 and verse 3 says this: the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The Amplified says, upholding all things, the entire physical and spiritual universe by his powerful word. God upholds the universe, both physical and spiritual. How does he do it? How does he do it? By releasing thousands and thousands of angels to go and hold up pillars here, there, and everywhere? No. By using nuclear power because he invented that as well. No. God upholds everything. Everything you see and the air that you breathe and the rising of the sun and the going down of the same and the planets in motion with the exact distance from the next planet so it doesn't frazzle it or freeze it. But every single thing that we see in the universe, he upholds it, all of it, with his powerful word. That's it. Do we have his word? Then we have his power. We've got his word today, from Genesis to Revelation. Therefore, we've got God's power. We need to flick the switch to release it into our circumstances. We don't need missiles. We need to use the word of God. There's more power in one word from God than an entire army of soldiers. There's an amazing quote from Mary, Queen of Scots, and she's reported to have said of the preacher, John Knox, who lived in Edinburgh, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe." Why? Because he was speaking the powerful word of God. That's how powerful God's word is, and it's how powerful our words can be, because we are the people that he poured out his spirit on. I'm going to finish with the vision that I started with, but this is, God showed me it slightly differently. So it's the same vision, what the person standing beside the creator's huge and deep, that's their gap, that's their need, and the mist was on the gap. But this time when I saw the picture, nothing was moving. The mist was just sitting there like dead weight. Nothing was hovering, nothing was swirling. God's spirit wasn't working on our behalf. It was still and silent and stagnant. It was a stagnant picture that I saw, not a moving, powerful one. A bit like the response we sometimes get when we think we've prayed about something. So why? Why was it just so still and silent and stagnant? Because we hadn't stirred it up. We hadn't spoken the word. God's spirit was there just waiting on the command. We hadn't used our authority. We hadn't released it. We hadn't spoken his powerful word over our gap. Folks, we can sit beside our creator, beside our gap, until the cows come home. But the situation won't change unless we flick the switch of God's power and speak out his word over it. If we don't speak the word of God, we'll still have a gap. You know, I was going to say if I went to James with a bunch of keys for a Ferrari, but it might be better going to Marion. So if I went to either of them, I said, "I've just parked a Ferrari in your driveway, okay, James and Marion. There's the keys." So they go out and they give it a wee dust and a wee polish. They go out the next day, give it a wee dust and a wee polish. They go out the next day, give it a wee dust and a wee polish. And the neighbours are thinking, "Are those pair nuts? They're dusting a Ferrari. Okay, you put a Ferrari in my drive and give me the keys, I would not be dusting it. I'd be off there driving it." Folks, in the spirit realm, we've got so much more than a Ferrari. We've got a Scud missile in our driveway, and sometimes we're just dusting it. We're not using it. We're not putting the keys in the ignition and flicking the switch of God's word and his power to change our lives and to fill our gap. We can have a gaping hole in our life if we don't use the power and authority that God has given us. If we need God's power released, then we are the ones that need to flick the switch. We need to use our authority, and we release it by speaking God's word. There's power in our tongue, and it's for death and life, it tells me in Proverbs 18:21. We have God's power already, but it's up to us to use it. So here's my last revelation of this morning. God's not the one holding back. We're the ones not releasing his power. We're just dusting the Ferrari. We have to release our God-given power into our gap. The word of God is power-packed, and it's up to us to flick the switch. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up.